horrible week after that. And now they're just running around. And I'm like, please, I just want to make a piece of toast and you're in the room. And I open a cabinet. Like, oh, hey, Cricket, that I can't kick out of my house. Can you please just leave? I don't want to kick you out. I just want to ask you nicely to leave. I have to do this.
Okay, all. Welcome to another episode of Strange Days. Let's kick it off, eh? Get into my little folder here of Gloom and Gloom. Here she is. Alright, let's kick it off. Enjoy.
Skills that I've learned to help you figure out exactly where you are without using a map or a compass. It's relatively straightforward, but it takes a lot of practice. So right off the bat, you find the brightest star in the sky. Right now it's daylight, so it's the sun. So I'm going to face that brightest star. If it's nighttime, you find the north star. Anyways, you put your hand up towards the brightest star, and then you find the slowest moving cloud. I don't need to get into the science behind how clouds move based on magnetic pull of the ground. So just trust that you've got your hand out to the brightest star, your hand out to the slowest moving cloud. Now you swing lock your body, and you slowly bring your hands down together. Now, this is the idea. You don't bring one down really fast. No. You come down at the same time. You end up pointing exactly at your current location. Don't forget it.
It is a dimension as vast as space.
Okay, so when the big banks finally go down, or when your bank goes down, you people need to be looking for this. And when they come back up, this is months ago, I told you folks you should be studying contract law. Because if your bank switches currency, that is voiding your mortgage contracts. I told you to study contract law. If you don't understand that statement, I can't do it for you. If you want to be free, you must learn how to take responsibility for your freedom. So let's paint a scenario here. Your bank goes down on a Friday. Monday they come up and you have digits in your account again. I would assume that is a CBDC. That is not fiat currency. When your mortgage becomes due, make sure you have cash on hand. You take cash directly to your bank and you attempt to make your payment with the cash. If they refuse it, they just voided your mortgage. Okay, and I can expand on that a little bit more. But nonetheless, if you do not know how to stand on this according to contract law, it's not going to do you any good anyways. So make sure you have a copy of your mortgages and you're reading through your contracts and you're looking up the definitions, like I told you folks before, because your mortgage contracts were created in this system of fiat currency. And if the banks switch their currency, that is breach of contract, because there's no way that a fiat currency is going to transition to a CBDC for the same amount of value. And they have to prove that it's the same currency. If they're telling you it's the same currency, then why wouldn't they accept your cash? That's a whole other issue, though. So if you're not prepared for a banking collapse now, what do you do? We're all poor, right? We haven't been able to go out and buy land and get the things that we need to prepare. So this is what I mean by I believe God is using the cryptocurrency as a stepping stone for his people to get his people out. And I know that folks feel like, well, I don't want to buy into the system. The digital currency system's already here, okay? You not participating in it and putting yourself in a position to have to accept a CBDC is going to be very bad for you and your family. Because guys, once you spend $1 of that, you have just agreed to the system. So for those of you concerning your mortgages, as I was just saying earlier, make sure you do not spend $1 or you've just accepted the system. Meaning you cannot argue your mortgage contract or your contracts based upon the fact that they've switched the currency, because once you spend $1, you've just accepted it.
you see on your social media feed are specifically targeted to you. It's almost like the app is listening to your conversation. I know it's happened to Katie on Instagram.
Yeah, Charisse, you know, my friend and I were talking about a specific cruise that she went on, and just a few minutes later, an ad for that specific cruise popped up into my Instagram feed. So it made me wonder, if they're not listening, how could that happen?
Parton is my wife's grandmother's maiden name.
WWL-TV photojournalist Adam Kopis and his wife named their new baby Parton. Like most new parents, they post pictures of her precious little face on social media. But Adam saw something strange online.
Well, my wife just showed me the phone, which was her Facebook feed, and she told me the story of how she calls Harden Heart. And so she's always, "Hey Heart, how are you? We love you, Heart." And then she started getting some ads on Facebook for the band Heart.
You're not a Heart fan?
I honestly couldn't even tell you what they sang.
Like everyone has a similar anecdote that leads many to believe the apps are listening in on their conversations. Even members of Congress questioned Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg about it.
You're talking about this conspiracy theory that gets passed around that we listen to what's going on your microphone and use that for ads.
Right.
We don't do that.
I wanted to test it out, so we started with Instagram. With my Instagram app open on my phone, Charisse and I started talking about all kinds of stuff.
Tell me about your trip. Where'd you go?
I think we did brunch at my Airbnb that I rented, and it was actually a gorgeous Airbnb.
I have not searched Airbnb on my phone. I don't have the app, and it only took 20 minutes into our conversation for this to happen.
There's an ad for Airbnb.
Coincidence? British security company Wandera recently did a similar experiment using two smartphones. One was in a quiet room, and the company played pet food commercials over and over to the second phone to see what would happen.
We weren't able to discern any kind of noticeable difference.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
It made me wonder if maybe the apps worked like Siri.
Getting directions to Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport.
Listening in when they hear trigger words.
I need a recipe for potatoes.
Facebook and Instagram's founders both say they are not listening, period. But again, when Charisse and I tried it, not only did Airbnb pop up.
So I'm going to Disney soon, and I wonder if I should Airbnb there for an extra night or two.
Oh, Disney.
The next day, this ad for Walt Disney World popped up in my Insta feed. Could be a coincidence. I have been looking at Disney World rides on my home computer. Instagram's founder denied the app accesses the microphone to listen in. During an interview with CBS This Morning anchor Neil King and Jim Buss.
Yeah, they're gathering everything. I think you'd have to be a little bit naive to think that you're private online these days, to be honest with you. Brutal truth for sure. I'm not a person, it says.
So a living man or a living woman can contract with another living man or a living woman. A corporation can contract with another corporation. A corporation cannot contract with a living man or a living woman, or vice versa. The government, which is formed of the Crown, the UK, the City of London, the police, social services, they're all profit-making corporations. So how is this corporation telling living men and women what to do? The way they do it is they set up what's called a legal fiction. So when you were born, unbeknownst to your parents, they registered your birth. So Joanne of the family blocks, who is the living woman, or living baby at that time, became Miss Joanne Bloggs, surname in capitals, a corporation. That is a person. In 1862, the definition of person was changed to mean corporation. It's part of the legalese trickery. So now, the government, the corporation, can now contract with the legal fiction corporation of Joanne Bloggs, in capitals, the person. If you look at letters, fines, etc., that come through the post, you'll see there'll be different variants, but some or all of your name will be in capitals. Those are the various corporations that are set up in your name in order for the government to contract with you. So, in order to contract with you, they impose rules, licenses, fines, bills, taxes, regulations. They are all contracts between the corporation, the government, and the corporation for your legal fiction. For a contract to be valid, there are certain rules that need to be abided by. Firstly, the parties must be competent to contract, so they must be of the age of consent, they must be mentally able, and they must be free to contract between legal or lawful entities. There must be free and genuine consent. So that consent has not been obtained by fraud, deceit, coercion, or mistake. There must be full disclosure, providing all material information that may influence the decision on both parties' behalf. There must be valuable consideration, so something of value needs to exchange between both parties. There needs to be certainty of terms. Those terms and conditions are fixed and they're unable to be changed without agreement. There must be a meeting of minds. So when those parties recognise and comprehend their obligations, there must be signatures or autographs in wet ink as recorded evidence of reciprocal consent. If the contract is between a living man or a living woman and another living man or living woman, then it's an autograph. If a person is signing on behalf of their legal fiction, it's a signature. And there must be privity of contract, so that contract cannot be sold on to a third party.
We convinced ourselves that they were gone.
You.
But they were just hibernating. They came for everybody. Oh, please. Always like.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, nothing. Just the end of the world.
That you can be in America, Canada, all over the world. Wait, nobody told me that there's different jurisdictions that you can be in America, Canada, all over the world. Australia, people are using common law to fight their local court systems. You may ask me, what is common law? Well, we're going to go over the essentials, but first, we've got to get through some of the basics. First, you've got to understand, there's two different languages basically being spoken under the English language. They just changed the definitions. It's called legalese. It's what you're speaking if you go in front of a judge or you go into court. Definitely read the definition of jurisdiction right here. Also, we're going to go up to person. A corporate entity that exists in the public domain can be natural, connected to a living woman or man, or dead, in care of another while the living woman or man is not capable of exercising care, often the corporate government. I'm telling you, there's a whole other language. They have their own dictionary, literally. What, you're gonna tell me you didn't know that this was written in the Seventh Amendment? Common law's written twice. For all the people that are gonna ask me, why would I want to do this? Why would I take so much time learning this whole new language, basically? Protect yourself and your property from those who may cause harm and damage, uphold your unalienable rights, and correct all and any corruption that has occurred in our world. I'm just gonna stop there. That's good enough for me. Some books I'd recommend. And I'm definitely picking up this baby pretty soon here. Yeah, there's a big secret, and it's starting to get exposed. I wasn't joking when he said this. Everyone figures out what these bankers, these politicians, have been doing behind the scenes with our birth certificates, our social security numbers, what they've been selling our national parks and our lakes. It's time that people wake up and realize we're in a fictitious jurisdiction, which we could place ourselves in a different one. This all works on implied consent contracts. Every time you write down your social security number, your all caps name, you pay a bill in your all caps name, all of these things are confirming, yes, I want to be a slave in fact. But if you've been wondering where I've been the past couple days, I've been on Crow's website watching a bunch of common law videos and learning all of this stuff. And there seems to be a lot of ways to do this, and it seems to be one of the most powerful jurisdictions that you can place yourself in.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
It's one of 700 million that are dotted all over China as part of their mass surveillance program. There's literally one camera for every two people in China, and they cover 100% of the whole country. Every single person, whether it be Chinese nationals or foreigners, can be identified using these cameras through facial recognition or something called gait, which uses your body movements to identify you. Insane. And it's all linked to China's social credit system. So that means when the camera catches you not wearing a mask or crossing the road without waiting for the green go light, you lose social credit points. And that could mean higher mortgage rates, higher taxes, slower internet speeds, more expensive public transport. The list goes on. So next time you're in China and you're thinking about being a naughty boy or girl, think again, because you are being watched and you will be caught.
Number 8. We will finally complete the biometric entry exit visa tracking system, which we need desperately. Administration, we will ensure that this system is in place. And I will tell you, it will be on land, it will be on sea, it will be in air. We will have a proper tracking system.
You leave me for somebody new. Worry.
Bought 11 loaves of bread.
Why this? Do I let myself worry?
This? Or this? Today, you get about a quarter of a loaf with this. You get about 135 loaves of bread with this. And you get about 11 loaves of bread with this. You tell me which you'd rather have, which you'd rather work for and save for future use.
I'm crazy for trying.
centralized the banking system, like right underneath our noses, right there. You know, socialist style. When Silicon Valley Bank first went under, the anxiety, you know, rippled through the economy and fears were sparked that it could fuel a domino effect on other banks.
The turmoil from the failure of two major banks, trading was temporarily halted for more than a dozen other regional banks.
We should be prepared for maybe more strain in the system.
Credit Suisse and First Republic Bank both sharply lower this week. That, of course, in the wake of Silicon Valley Bank's collapse.
Regional bank stocks plummet amid questions about whether a financial crisis is looming.
But it did not take long for that Biden administration to swoop right in and guarantee, by the way, using your tax dollars, get that bread, all the money deposited in that bank. They guaranteed it with your money. So if, you know, Joey Bagadonis or some had $100 in the bank, don't worry, Joey gets his money back. That all sounds great, right?
The bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed on top of all of it.
He will. So Joey Bag of Donuts is $100 is FDIC insured, but what about $1 million or $10 million? So if Biden can just guarantee all of those deposits at SVB with your money, by the way, well, what's stopping him from rescuing every single bank in the entire country? That kind of sounds like a communist-like system. He just said he'd do whatever is needed to keep other banks from collapsing, even changing the rules. That's why we have rules. That's why they're called rules. So with that precedent now in place, did Biden just effectively nationalize the banking system right underneath our noses right here without anyone realizing it even happened? Because it would only be the biggest economic story of our time. You know, call me crazy, but I feel like we've kind of seen this scary playbook before. So who else is doing the exact same thing? You know, the government taking over the banks? Saying the taxpayers, we're going to run this. Oh, that's right. President Xi Jinping of China. Well, of course. I mean, they are communists. The Chinese Communist Party is always expanding its police state. Always. I mean, that's what communists do. And it already controls its banking system like Joe Biden's going to do now here. Folks, it's not a conspiracy theory or a dopey thing the left's going to throw out at you. It's actually happening right now from the New York Times, quote, while past Chinese leaders sought to maintain a buffer between the party and the private sector, Mr. Xi has erased those lines and made clear that businesses are there to advance the party's agenda. That sounds familiar. Kind of like those Democrats. We won't let this banking crisis, or any other one, by the way, go to waste. So what's the difference? China, what's happening here? You got a pretty woke bank run by a woke board with woke objectives that goes belly up. And there's that government, there's the G, steps out of the shadows to fix it. Says we're going to guarantee all those deposits, even, by the way, foreign investors from China. And who are they going to guarantee with? This is where it's like really crazy. They're going to do with your money. Really? J.P. Morgan paid him off for the Iraq war. 3 months after we invaded Iraq, they held out the Iraq banks for $20 billion. He was then paid $6 million every year and still is from J.P. Morgan 6 months after he left office. The man is a war criminal.
This gentleman managed to access the court through what is supposed to be a secure corridor.
He was... He was addressing Tony Blair. War crimes.
Dear black people and dear white people, watch this video in its entirety. I have something to say. I have a chart. And what this chart does is breaks down and shows you the different skin tones of brown. Now, I'm gonna need for y'all to hold on to your seats and really look at this and study it with your mind, because this is going to be groundbreaking. After this video is done, duet, stitch, and show it to everybody, because today is the day we end black and white. There is no person alive that are any of these colors. These are the shades of brown. These colors are the color of every human being that walks the earth. If you can find the color of your skin on these shades of brown, you are not black and you are not white. I'm sick of falling for the same social construct, and I'm sick of it going from generation to generation. Today it stops. We will no longer refer to anyone as black or white. Puerto Ricans, you're brown. Asians, Afro-Asiatics, you're brown. What we call white people, you're brown. Black people, you're dark brown. And now it's us, the human brown race, versus the elites who want to be called white. We are now all brothers and sisters. We now begin to strive for unconditional love, unity, and equality amongst ourselves. A socialist democracy is what's needed to eradicate this nonsense called capitalism, communism, any of that mess. It's time to come together.
Early start. Brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer. This week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer. Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer. This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer. On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
There are reports that there is no evidence of a direct link between Baghdad and some of these terrorist organizations.
There are no bombs. There are things that we know we have. We also know we have no bombs. That is to say, there's things we can cause them. But there are also the
At times they were kind, they were polite in their sophistication, smiling but never too loud. Acting in civilized manner, an illusion of gentleness, always fighting to get their way. While the people see, the people know, the people wait, the people say. The closing of your doors will never shut us out. The closing of your doors will only shut you in. We know the predator.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but I created the world's most popular computer operating system.
No, of course.
But as we all know, it wasn't actually you who created it. As a matter of fact, the predecessor of Windows, MS-DOS, was created by Gary Kildall, which you then basically stole from him for a couple of dollars.
It's not just development. There's a whole lot of important factors to running an enormously successful company like Microsoft.
So then let's leave the computer world for a moment. You have been a major spokesperson for COVID vaccines during the pandemic.
Yes.
What exactly makes you a computer engineer who didn't even program his initial product himself, a valid representative of the pharmaceutical industry?
I have read a lot of books about that
yes,
topic.
Yes, but how does that...
Wait a second. And met with specialists from the field all over the world.
Mr. Gates, with all due respect, how do you feel about it now? Now that it's becoming more and more evident that the medication you were promoting whilst having heavily invested in it yourself, thus making billions of it...
This is not how the world works.
...has caused countless injuries, side effects and death.
That's a very immature way of looking at it, quite frankly.
So here's my final question to you. Is this a behavioral pattern?
What do you mean exactly?
Taking technology from other people that you don't understand, selling a product full of bugs, causing massive damage and profiting from it in a spectacle.
Genocide conceived in sophistication, technological material civilization, irrationalization, replacing a way to live, trying to isolate in a dimension called loneliness.
Purchased by the government have been used. So let's take a closer look at the numbers. Pfizer and AstraZeneca are by far the most used vaccines, with around 25% of available stocks of AstraZeneca and 33% of Pfizer used. We've used less than 20% of Moderna doses. And when it comes to Novavax, the government ordered enough for 51 million inoculations. Just 162,000 of those have been used.
About the death of a political advisor in Queensland this week. 38-year-old disability pensioner Stephen Harrison stood for freedom. He was an anti-COVID mandate campaigner and he detested government rules on lockdowns of any kind. Last Sunday night, police said they were forced to surround Harrison's home in Warwick, Queensland, because of anonymous reports he was seen wielding a gun. Well, after a 12-hour siege, police say they found the dead body of Harrison inside his home, the victim of a gunshot wound to the head. One of Harrison's closest political friends was Federation Party leader Brett Tunbridge, who communicated with him throughout the siege. Brett Tunbridge joins me now. Brett, thank you very much for your time. And we got Brett on the other line.
I'm going to actually play the full broadcast of this, guys, because I think it's highly important it gets out there. It's going to go for 13 minutes. Welcome to the room, all. Hope you get something out of it. Deep shit, guys.
Very much for your time. Tell us about your political party, firstly, and what role Stephen Harrison had inside the party.
Okay, I am a state organiser, Queensland state organiser for the Australian Federation Party. We're one of the smaller political parties in Australia. We are a fully democratic party supporting the traditional Australian constitution as it stands. We don't believe that the government have been following that constitution for quite a few years, I might add, and we regard that things need to be brought back into line to observe the law correctly and have an open and accountable government and parliament to the people of the country.
Okay, don't beat around the bush. What aspects of government control are you mainly campaigning against?
First of all, COVID lockdowns was a big one that brought us up because we don't accept that they were legal in any way. They were unconstitutional. They were against several aspects of our constitution. And there's many other cases where politicians of the other larger parties, the governing party and its opposition, they are not following the rules as set out in the Australian Constitution. Many sections of the Constitution have simply been ignored or breached. There's no recourse for that. The courts appear to be not interested, as evidenced by the COVID lockdowns and so forth. They're not interested in following the Constitution. There's no appropriate discussion within general mainstream media circles about this sort of thing. So we exist to basically to put things right. We ran 68 members in the last federal election. We had a very good response to that. There were obviously many other parties involved. However, we made a pretty good showing and a lot of people are very supportive of us. We're only a smaller party, obviously.
Okay, Stephen Harrison, what role did he have in that party?
Now, Mr. Harrison was an educator.
Yeah, I'm sorry, anyone new in the broadcast. I really don't want to interrupt this and put any piss stains on it. I really want this information to get out there because it's a bit of a rare one, you know, from what just happened over here the other week. So, yeah, I think it's really worth for especially my Australian mates out there to, they haven't heard it, to hear it.
A political advisor and constitutional historian. So his actual title was a constitutional historian. He was a small, harmless fellow, 7% vision, walked with a cane, hardly a Rambo killing machine kind of guy. Very studious, a large collection of books, probably 6,000 books on constitutionalism and the rule of law. So this is not your average cut loose with a gun kind of fellow that the media may portray these people as, and some others obviously are that kind. This man was the absolute antithesis.
Well, stuff it, I've already sort of put a piss stain on it, because if you ever want the hard copy of this, just email me or message me in the chat or after it, and I'll give you the hard copy thing. But that's how fragile things are over here, guys. It's like walking on eggshells. You just don't know. They could pick you for the law is law. It's so open to interpretation. It's beyond the joke now. So yeah. But political stances and shit over here are really freaking putting a little thing on your letterbox, so to speak. Anyway, check the rest of this out.
Of that kind of behaviour.
For those overseas, this was a standoff. Apparently, a gentleman had a rifle or something, some weapon, which was actually one of those, anyway, goes into it, explains it. All right, enough said. Check this out for 10 minutes.
So how did the siege begin?
According to the information I have, and I spoke to Stephen for 4.5 hours during the situation that occurred,
And as you'll notice, this guy is actually his mate talking to him too during the thing. So, anyway, enough explained. Fucking hell.
He said someone had put a report to police that he was seen with a firearm. Police then turned up. Someone knocked on his door. He thought it was apparently a joke and went out of shower and was about to go to bed. Then he turned the lights out. So the next thing that occurs. Sirens start, loudspeakers start, strobe lights start in his window. Now, to give a slight background on the man, he was a very timid man. He was fearful of police, fearful of a lot of social interaction. He was very well known in the area and highly respected, and it's a huge heartbreak in the community here. But this man was a timid man. He believed his home was his sacrosanct castle, and unless he chose to let somebody in, there was simply no entry. So he didn't reply. He regarded that as nonsense, whatever was going on. He contacted me as probably one of his close friends via an encrypted messaging app. Nobody else knew whether he had any electronics at all. I remained in contact with him for the 4.5 hours. He stated that someone had put him in a court and he didn't understand what it was about. That's what the police were saying, that they had reports he had a firearm, and they requested that he come out of the house and surrender himself.
But hang on a second. I don't understand this, Brett. In Warwick, which is in a fairly rural area of Queensland, for those who don't know, in other parts of the world, it's not foreign for someone to have a gun in a rural area. Unless they're threatening another human being with it, why would someone report him holding it?
Well, that's one of the unanswered questions. And I put it to him. I said, Stephen, do you have a firearm? Do you have a gun? And he replied to me that he had a toy gel blaster, which are very realistic looking things. Fires a small yellow pellet. Kids play with them. You can shoot.
A gel blaster.
A gel blaster. Correct. I have sighted this before. They've set up cans in the backyard and shot the cans off the fence with the little thing with my 11-year-old son. Not a problem. My understand these things are fully legal here in Queensland. There's no laws to prevent you owning one. I believe they're supposed to be kept in a locked cupboard. That's all I know. They are definitely legal here in Queensland, legal to purchase, legal to own.
Okay. Tell me about the conversations you had with him. This was text to text.
No, it was direct voice.
Direct voice. What was he telling you then about his mood and whether he thought he was in trouble?
He was frightened. He said he didn't understand what was going on and why he was being accused of this. And why they were bothering him, basically. Why they needed to do all this, he regarded as persecution-style treatment of him. And I said, well, possibly you should just yell out, not interested, go away.
So what were the police doing? Were they just around the property, or were they being aggressive?
No, the police were stating they had the property surrounded. They were using an audio acoustic device. I'm not sure of the nature of the device. However, it emits a shrill, high-pitched whistle, something like a break-in alarm at a commercial premises. This thing nearly burst my eardrums when I heard it over the phone.
For what purpose to get him out?
Okay, well, I spoke to the police area commander at 3 o'clock in the morning because I tried to defuse the situation. And I said, well, my question was the same as yours. And I said, why are you using an acoustic device on a man who is harmless, curled up in a fetal position on his bedroom floor, praying for salvation, praying to God that people would leave him alone? Why are you using this on him? The police commander's statement to me, and I've included this in a formal statement, was, do we use this equipment to provoke a response?
So a response? Why would you want to provoke a response? Wouldn't you?
Unreal. Isn't that unreal? This is how corrupt the system is here, guys. He's an innocent guy. He's just a truther. Oh, one of those conspiracy theorists. Running around with a toy fucking gun. And obviously he's got some social issues, which is probably explainable at your time frame in the so-called truth and conspiracy movement. There are certain emotions that can take place. One of them includes possible paranoia. Unfortunately, it just goes with the flow. But this is showing exactly how they can turn someone into a pretty much nut job and set an example. It's quite scary, actually. It really is. how quickly things can turn. I mean, think about my bros even sharing this, you know. Here we go, another one, freaking another dot on the thing. But the way I look at it, like, I'm not bullshitting, if you know what I mean. And I'm sorry that it's the hard truth for the higher authorities and stuff like that, but it is out there in the open field, and it is, this is real and raw, and that's how I keep it. I dig. I know people all around the world, let alone here, and I get it right from the freaking source virtually. You know what I mean? Like this. This is rare shit. You'd never hear this on bloody, pretty much anywhere else, you know? Very rare stuff. So that's why I appreciate sharing it, you know what I mean? And so it's got about 6 minutes to go. So I've got to finish it off. Yeah, it's terrifying how quickly they can change an easy situation just into a war zone and a slaughter field. To send someone mad. These things, if you knew, I think he starts talking about even the neighbors were starting to complain. Because they were hammering this guy with these frequencies, you know. Anyway, I'll continue and let it go for another 6 minutes.
Be trying to de-escalate the situation?
My words exactly. I said to the officer, the commander, I said, how about you pull back, de-escalate the situation, allow the man to get some peace in his head, calm down. He's very emotional. As I said, I was in communication via device with him. I said, he's very emotional. He's not dangerous. He informed me. He wanted to hurt nobody. He had no intention whatsoever. And I trust this man. Would have trusted this man with my life, with my family's life.
And there was no one else in the house, home?
There was no one else in the home. He was there by himself, lying silent on the floor. He told me.
Okay. All of a sudden, just after 8 o'clock in the morning,
we just had a similar one here to, welcome to the room too, mate. I don't think we've spoken before, but we had a similar one here about 2 months ago where there was this ranch and it's right in a fracking mining system, you know what I mean? These and it was in a well-known anyway, people that are just getting out of society and that and want to be self-sufficient. Another conspiracy theory couple. And their property was right in the line of the fracking zones, you know. Just a coincidence. Just a freaking... And it was all tied in with the Queensland police as well. And apparently, they're going to turn it now into a some sort of a police force range field of some sorts, you know. Just a coincidence, all this shit. Just a coincidence, man.
Bing. Although police officially say no shots were fired,
correct.
Harrison's body was found inside the home, and police say there are no suspicious circumstances, which is code for he killed himself with a shot to the head.
That's what they're saying. Now, at 4:30 in the morning, after many hours of having this equipment used on him and having all sorts of stuff, neighbours were screaming at the time in other houses to shut the noise down, mind you. Stephen said to me, he said, I'm so tired, I can't take this torture anymore. He said, I just wanted to go to sleep, was one of his replies. And he said, tell everybody in the party, I love them. God bless you. And I said, God bless you, Stephen. And the call was ended. And that was 4:30 in the morning. And then, as you say, the police have released that at 8:30 they've gone in and found him deceased from a gunshot wound. So if no shots were fired, I've got a few questions. Some of my questions are directed at our police commissioner in Queensland, who stated after a recent event not involved with anything to do with this, which they pinned on conspiracy theorists, the police commissioner stated publicly on the mainstream media, conspiracy theorists, we're coming for you, we will hunt you down. And that was Sir Katerina Carroll, the Queensland Police.
There you go, exactly what I frickin' said. Yeah, same with what you guys are going over there. If you're a little bit redneck, a little bit of a Donald Trump supporter, or a little bit too far on the right wing, or maybe just maybe you might be a patriot. Look out. We're watching you. Yeah. Same shit here, man. Same shit. I know exactly what you guys are going through. And the problem is, too, and I'm talking on the biggest scale of things, you guys have got to worry about bloody infiltrators, because there's plenty of those bastards out there as well, isn't there? I'm sure you know that.
I've seen all of that coverage, and it makes sense that you would fear that because of that call to arms, that police are being a little bit over-aggressive towards people they would consider to be conspiracists.
My request to offer assistance in calming the situation were refused. I offered to come in and mediate. No, not interested. The man's father, who I called, was outside sitting in a police car. They didn't allow him to talk. They didn't give him a loudspeaker.
executive vice president is staying at home. He ran the death squads for the Indonesian army. On his own call, anyone could be assassinated. So when George Herbert Walker Bush became head of the CIA under the Ford administration, he just got with his old buddy in the oil business, Lolo Sotoro, and pulled off the hits. See, Barack's grandmother has been acknowledged as being the woman that operated the channels through which CIA money went to the Southwest Pacific. So she introduced her daughter, who had just had buried Barack, to Lolo Sotoro. And they got married, and Lolo Sotoro adopted Barack Obama. The name was changed to Barry Sotoro. Now, when he went to high school in Hawaii, I know about that high school. I almost sent my oldest son to it. I could afford it, but I didn't think he deserved it. 20 years ago, the tuition was $95,000 a year, not including room and board. When Obama went there, I talked to two of his classmates. They independently state that the tuition, not including room and board, was $45,000. Now, Business Insider reports his income for 2017 at over $200 million net. That's after taxes, deductions, write-offs. For this last year, 2018, they reported it had $570+ million. And that's after all deductions, tax, right? Trump doesn't make that debt. I mean, even some of the richest people in America don't make that. Why? Because when his stepdaddy died, he was one of the 10, 15 richest men on earth. And he left everything in the trust fund operated out of Indonesia, so the American government can't touch it. It makes Barack Obama one-third beneficiary for the assets of one of the 10, 15 richest men on earth. So we got a game run on us. So you know that little thing that Bush W does when he gets with Michelle, they giggle and he gives a candy? The inside thing is that supposed to be the same kind of candy he used to give to her husband when he was 6, 7, 8 years old.
It's Monday, not that. So what? So yeah, it's at least 7 o'clock.
There's a fifth dimension. Beyond that, which is known as time. It is a dimension vast as space.
Said to me that the best things in his life happened when they weren't supposed to. Which, fair point, I get it. But it also begs the question, who decides what's supposed to happen, right? Who defines the supposed to's? Because I can tell you, I've spent a lot of my adult life unlearning supposed to's. You know, I always joke about this time not long after leaving the corporate world where I was just jogging on a Tuesday afternoon, and felt guilt because I was so conditioned to either be at school or behind a desk at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday that I just couldn't let myself enjoy it. That's insane. It's a parameter that I placed around myself that just is not in line with what's good for me. And so I want to sort of pass that on to you. What are the supposed to's in your life that maybe you hadn't thought about? The supposed to's that you should unshackle yourself. Right. Cut away the supposed to's.
In this year or 100 years hence, on this planet or wherever there is life, a lesson to be learned in the twilight zone.
That we were shown is a scam. These are not the recommendations of the nutritionists who actually did the research.
That's right. Though a team of nutritionists had carefully formulated the guidelines of what to eat for optimal health, their recommendations just didn't sit well with the big name food corporations, and so they were changed.
This is Louise Light. She was the nutritionist team lead, and even she said herself that the changes that the USDA made it clear that the food pyramid was ultimately just sold to the highest bidder. In the version that the nutritionist had, dairy did not have its own section, but in the version that was shown to the public, they did. This suggests that dairy is required for a healthy diet, when it's not. The nutritionist recommended 5 to 9 daily servings of fruits and vegetables. In the version shown to the public, it said 2 to 3 servings instead. Over 50% less. The nutritionist also recommended only having 3 to 4 servings of breads and cereals. But the version shown to the public said 6 to 11 servings instead. And things like crackers and muffins were initially placed at the top of the pyramid. So yeah, the nutritionists were alarmed to see that in the version shown to the public, it had been moved to the base. Okay, but here's my thing. So they literally lied about what is healthy. And then they expect us not to ask them to pay for our health care?
Countries have committed similar violations. Turkey, for example. Can I finish? For example, Turkey has bombed Kurdish citizens. Saudi Arabia has tortured political and religious dissidents. Why does the U.S. apply different standards of justice to these countries?
Let me say that when there are problems such as you have described, we point them out and make very clear our opposition to them. But there is no one that has done to his people or to his neighbors what Saddam Hussein has done.
My microphone is off. There we are. What do you have to say about dictators of countries like Indonesia, who we sell weapons to, yet they are slaughtering people in East Timor? What do you have to say about Israel, who is slaughtering Palestinians, who imposes martial law? What do you have to say about that? Those are our allies. Why do we sell weapons to these countries? Why do we support them? Why do we bomb Iraq when it commits similar problems?
There are various examples of things that are not right in this world, and the United States is trying... necessary to defend the rights of Saddam Hussein, when what we ought to be thinking about is how to make sure that he does not use weapons of mass destruction.
I'm not defending them the least. peace. What I am saying is that there needs to be consistent application of U.S. foreign policy. We cannot support people who are committing the same violations because they are political allies. That is not acceptable. We cannot violate U.N. resolutions when it is convenient to us. You're not answering my question, Madam Albright.
Broadcast very soon, guys. Thank you for my. I'm not sure who's actually listening in there live, but thanks for joining me on my journey. If you've got anything to bring up before I leave, just type something in the room and I can maybe cover it. I will say something about the health issues of life. Is that I come across this thing about castor oil, amazingly enough, and I've always been a little bit edgy about all these, you know, rancid fats with certain oils, and you know, especially sunflower oil, and heard lots of bad stuff about, you know, rancid fatty acids and all these sort of things, and I was looking at health oils and stuff like that and doing a lot of deep study into that. And I come across castor oil, believe it or not. And it's quite an amazing oil. So, you know, for everything from eye conditions, wrinkles, general health. This goes on. It just seems to be an incredible bloody oil. So I got some of it, and I thought I'd give it a try. So it's going to be interesting just to see where it goes. I thought it'd be a good experiment to do like one side of your face or something. Not that I'm overly wrinkly or anything, but just say his little, you know, crow lines or something like that, and test it out there. Yeah, it's supposed to be really good as a thing for your eyes, which is something I've been struggling with lately. Eye issues, and yeah, that's why I haven't been reading much. I just can't do it, you know. Rambling on and producing shows kills my eyes, you know. So I thought, oh well, why not give that a try? So yeah, I think it's worth having a little bit of a check out on the old castor oil. You'd be surprised. I just one little thing that I'd overlooked for years because I'd always sort of steered away from any oils, really. But the more I dig into it, the more I like it, you know. So I think that's just something I wanted to share.
What they're trying to teach the youths, them?
G'day there. Thank you very much for tuning.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I think I've just about done it. Yeah, there's nothing else I really... I've got the other things I want to share is a bit long. Let's just have a quick listen to this.
By Judy Byington. This is one in a series of articles taken from eyewitness testimony before the International
Criminal Court. Yeah. This is about child slavery. It's incredible. Fuck, it's incredible how many children go. Wait there, let me go back a bit. I'll tell you the statistics. Here we go. 800,000 children disappear every year in the United States of America. That equivalents to one child every 40 seconds. What's going on, guys? You know what I mean? You can't tell me there's that many predators out there that need that many children. There's got to be something more than meets the eye, I mean, God, how many billionaires are there out there? How are they going through so many children? What the hell's going on here? Is this just a big harvesting feast? Throw off a couple of children to the big politicians to, not look at their operations or something? Just doesn't add up. Freaking incredible numbers, man. All right. Well, I'm going to end the broadcast. I'm sorry I had to end it on
if
such a...
If there is one thing I can give you to
I'll give you one
your
thing.
Life forever, I would make you see yourself through the eyes of those who truly love you. Just then, you would see how precious you are to this world.
Hey, couldn't end it any better than that. There's no doubt about it. And I might even play a little bit of it through the end of my broadcast. Just for positive affirmation sakes. Anyway, no doubt we'll get a lot of listeners later. So enjoy the broadcast. Hope you got something out of it. And I will catch us all on the next episode of Strange Days. There is no doubt about it.
If there is one thing I can give you to change your life forever, I would make you see yourself through the eyes of those who truly love you. Just then, traveling in a brighter company. On the hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, you come from a land out of love.